Let's pray. Let's pray for Travis. Thank you, Lord, so much for Travis. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, your anointing on him and on his words. We pray, Father, right now that you would just speak through him clearly. Speak through him, Lord. I pray he would just reap the benefit of your presence as he's speaking, God. Be refreshed. And Lord, we open our hearts to what you have to say this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Paul. All right. Can we, I know this is a pain, but it would help me. Can everybody come forward a little bit? Because everybody's so spread out and we're such a small group of people, it just feels like, just feels weird. That will help me. I appreciate you doing me a favor. I know it's a pain. Thank you, though. I mean, we're family, right? How's everybody doing? I want to play a video for us today. I guess we can go ahead and play it. I wasn't going to start with it, but I think, why not? This is the head of intercession at Morningstar Fort Mill, just kind of giving out a little word that had come to them. And it's for Morningstar. There's a couple things about it I think are that we need to hear and pretty awesome. But it kind of sets the stage for what I want to continue talking about. His name's Robert Rummage. We'll have him here sometime this year, I'm sure. So he just goes on to pray against the storms and stuff. But I just wanted to show that because, first of all, a friend of the ministry. He's not someone that goes to Morningstar. He lives in another part of the country. Prophetic minister that Morningstar has known for a long time. Has a visitation from the Lord Jesus in the middle of the night where the Lord comes to the foot of his bed and talks to him for about 45 minutes. That right there is pretty awesome. How many would like something like that? I'm volunteering, Lord. But he just started talking about the storms that had been coming or that the nation was in a storm right now and that there had been a front end of the storm. And then he hit the eye of the storm. And, you know, in the eye of the storm is total peace. You know, we know this, living here, you know, the hurricanes come. You get hit on the front end. Then you go into the eye. It's peaceful for a moment. And then the back end of the storm hits. And it's sometimes more damage happens on the back end than there is on the front end. And so he was just saying that storms are here. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that because we want to be prepared in the times that we live in. And I, you know, part of the word was that Morningstar was going to be an ark. And I think there's an aspect to that. One of Morningstar's callings is to equip the body to hear the Lord's voice. I mean, that's part of Morningstar's DNA is to help equip the body of Christ, you know, to recognize the Lord's voice, to hear his voice, to release prophetic words that are, you know, that we can hear and respond to. And, you know, we're a church plant out of Morningstar in Charlotte, and, you know, we certainly want to see everybody that the Lord's given us making sure that they're growing and hearing God's voice, obeying God's voice, and that all starts by first hearing, obviously, and then obeying. You know, we're in the times of troubled waters, and I had the Lord show me that years ago, that he showed me this season of my life, and he said that when I came into this season of my life that it was in a dream. But he showed me when I came into this season of my life, it would be the beginning of the times of troubled waters. And I was having a blast in it, in the dream. But it was serious. And I think that's the time we're in, you know, where we should be having, as believers, we should be having a great time. Because in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. But in the world, there's going to be a deep sorrow, deep darkness. And that's what Isaiah 60 says, you know. Isaiah 60, y'all familiar. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. But behold, darkness covers the earth, and deep darkness is the people. So you see in Isaiah 60 that on one hand, there's incredible light upon God's people. On the other hand, there's incredible darkness in the world. And isn't that the picture that we got when Moses went to Egypt? And all the children of Israel, they had light. It was one of the plagues that hit Egypt was darkness. And so right in the middle of darkness, when Egypt, which represents the world, was in a deep darkness, the children of Israel were in light. And that's really the times that we in. Us as believers are supposed to be growing in light in another, at a whole nother level. We should be shining so bright in the midst of this darkness, not only because that light does shine better in darkness, but also because of the depth of the light is the light of the sun. You know, the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. He should be rising in us. Guys, I am really, we're coming. The Lord's coming. Y'all know that? The Lord, I know people, you grow up in church. If you've grown up in church, you've heard this your whole life. And every generation thought that it's coming. And I don't know if it's coming for sure, but I believe it is. He said that, you know, the scripture is very clear that though we don't know the day or the hour, that we're not to, you know, that we're not to be unaware because we are children of light, that day should not overtake us as in darkness. See, we should know the season. I shared that 2 weeks ago when I shared the message 2 weeks ago just about the reality of realizing the time and the season that we're in. And the Lord is coming. I mean, He really is coming. And that's exciting. We're supposed to lift up and lift our eyes up. And it's going to help us because as we advance in this darkness, our eyes are going to be lifted up upon the sun and we're going to reflect. Just like the moon reflects the light of the sun, we are called to reflect the light of the sun to the darkness in the world. And so this is going to be a great time of darkness and light. There's going to be troubles all over the world. Death is going to increase in so many ways. And the reason I say that is because symbolically you can see that, you know, when you look at when Joshua was coming into the promised land, before he did, he had to cross the Jordan. And it said that the Jordan overflowed its banks all the days of the harvest. Well, what we know about the harvest is that the harvest is the end of the age. Jesus said that. He said, the harvest is the end of the age. So in the days of harvest, the Jordan would overflow its banks all those days. And Jordan represents death. You know, we have been buried in death, right? The scripture says that when it talks about being baptized, we have been baptized into his death, right? Well, where were they baptized? They were baptized in the Jordan in John the Baptist's days. Jesus baptized in the Jordan. The Jordan actually means to descend down. And it descends down into the Dead Sea. So the Jordan descends into the Dead Sea, and it's where they baptize, which is a picture of death, because you're buried with him. You're buried with him in baptism and raised with him. You know, that's what the whole picture of baptism is being baptized into his death and raised again into his life. And so the Jordan, it says that when the priest touched their feet into the River Jordan, that the River Jordan backed up, rolled back all the way to the city of Adam. Isn't that amazing? That when the priest stepped into death, you know, the priest wore a picture of the Christ. When he stepped into death, death rolled back all the way to Adam. The point I'm trying to make in that is that, you know, and Rick said this a lot, that the harvest, there will be, you know, if the Jordan represents death, that in the time of the harvest, there will be death all around us. And that's really what's happening in the world. You look at all the people that are dying right now, and it's sad. But we have to lift up our head and keep our eyes on the prize. We are living in serious times, but it's also incredible times. But here's the thing. If you live your life focused here, you're going to be in trouble. But if you live your eye focused here, this is going to be awesome. So your focus is going to be very important. What you're focusing on. Don't focus on what's around you. Keep your focus up. That's what I shared a little bit 2 weeks ago, just keeping our focus on the Lord. That message I shared the 2 weeks ago, I don't know that I felt a burden from the Lord like I had to preach a message like I had that one. If you hadn't heard that, please check it out. I really felt like there was something from the Lord on that we need to hear in this time about our focus. That was the message, Behold the Son. But here's what I want to get into is, you know, how do we prepare for the storms of life that are coming? How do we be prepared? How do we find these arcs? How do we get into these arcs so that we can be safe from the times coming? because, you know, storms are coming. You know, if you live in life, no matter when you lived in life, you had storms. Every generation has their own storms. But Jesus gave us a way that we could deal with the storms. And this is what Jesus has to say about being prepared for the storms. Are y'all ready? Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Now, I've shared some aspects of what I'm going to share today before. I cannot let the, I keep feeling the Lord just telling me to keep sharing this. I feel like this is really important, and that's, and we need to get this. One of the things that the Lord told me that he was doing for this year was he was unstopping our ears. He was dealing with people who have stopped up ears, people who don't want to hear even. And we have got to become people that want to hear what the Lord's saying, even if it contradicts what we like, what we think, what we want. We've got to become people that hear what the Lord's saying. It is imperative. It's life and death, actually. We have to get a heart to hear and obey. And the Lord's trying to do that so he can help us, because we're coming into very serious times. And the Lord's, as I just said, the storms are here, and this is how the Lord says we're going to prepare for them. So this is Luke 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? He's basically saying that's an oxymoron. You can't call me Lord and then not listen to me. So why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts upon them, I will show you who he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation upon the rock, and when the flood rose, the torrent burst against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house upon the ground without any foundation, and the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of the house was great. So here we have a picture of Jesus saying, there's a storm coming, and there's two men. Both men experienced the storm, right? Both men experienced the torrent that came against the house. So everybody's going to go through a storm. It doesn't matter who you are. You're going to go through a storm in your life where everything's going to get tested. Your life is going to get tested. But there's two types of men. There's the person that built their house upon a rock, and those that did not. Both experienced the storm. But one man's experience through the storm was one way, and the other one was another way. The one that built the house upon the rock, when the storm comes, it doesn't do anything to the storm. It doesn't knock it over. The house stands. But when the storms come, and the person that didn't build their house upon the rock, that house was destroyed. And so everybody's going to experience a storm, but the thing that we have to make sure that we're doing is that we're being people who are building our house upon the rock. And Jesus made it very clear what that is. Let's look back at it. He starts this whole thing off by saying, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts upon them, I will show you who he is like. So the key for us is learning how to hear the voice of the Lord and then obey the voice of the Lord. Some people, both of these men, heard the voice of the Lord. That's the interesting thing. Both of them heard. One acted upon what they... And we've all been guilty, of having the Lord speak something to me, not fully obeying when I was supposed to. Right? Everybody been guilty of not really obeying the Lord in some way? So we're all guilty. Well, in the times that we're coming into, it's going to be crucial that we hear and obey. Hear and obey. And I think the Lord's wanting to train us. You know, the Lord's been training me in this, and my whole adult life, I'm still being trained on how to hear his voice and obey. Every time he speaks to you is a training. It's preparing you for the next time he speaks to you. And so we want to learn how to recognize the Lord speaking to us and then also obeying it. Before I get into that, You know, this house has, not everybody's in construction like I am. Those that are know that there's usually some degree of heavy work involved in building a foundation, right? This man that Jesus said heard his words and obeyed, he dug down, it says. You ever dug a footer? It ain't fun. Now, it's a little easier here at the beach because most of the soil is sand, but that's not true across the board because we just did a job where there were so many roots, even in the sand, that it was pretty tough digging. It wasn't like Charlotte where you get really hard clay, and if it's got roots and rocks and stuff, I mean, you get a lot of blisters if you're trying to dig that thing by hand. And back in this time, they dug them by hand. To dig down, you know, you want to go. They would go down to find stones, really hard ground. That's hard work. And I just want to say to you guys that it's not easy giving yourself to a lifestyle of hearing and obeying. It's not easy at all. I've been trying to grow in this my whole life, and I've not done it perfectly. I mess up quite a bit, but I keep growing in it, and I'm not going to quit. And I just want to encourage you that to make your life. A life that is given itself over to trying to hear God, and then when you hear God, obey. That's hard work. It's not easy. It's easy just to lay aside what you think might be God and just say, oh, well, I don't feel like messing with that right now. You know, I don't feel like, but I mean, that happens. Here's an example of that. Just an example. These are some of the examples out of my life of the way that God's been training me. I mean, he's training us to prepare us for these times. We have to get into an ark. Noah, he heard God tell him to build an ark. What would have happened if he wouldn't have done it? Everybody would have died. The safety of mankind and the fact that we're here today is because a man heard from God and obeyed. And I can keep going through the scriptures. Abraham, he heard God. He said God told him to leave his family and to go to a place that you're not going to know, a place that I'm going to show you, but I ain't showing you yet. I'm going to show you. Come out and follow me. And Abraham obeyed, and he left his family. And then the Lord said, you're going to have a son. And he believed God, and he bore a son. And then the Lord said, listen, I want you to take your only son, the son that I promised you, the son that you've been waiting all your life because of a promise that I gave you that you were going to have a son in your old age and that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through this son. And I want you to take this son and I want you to kill him. I want you to sacrifice him to me. Only time in man's history that's happened. And of course, Abraham took his son to Mount Moriah. And in that place, his son's like, Lord, where's the sacrifice? He's like, the Lord will provide. That word provide means appear. It could just as easily have been translated appear. The Lord will appear. Isn't that amazing? Jesus did appear. but he took him to the place, and he laid his son up, and he was ready to obey God. And, you know, that opened the door. That obedience that Abraham was willing to do, I believe personally in my own theology, I'm not going to be dogmatic about this, but I believe that his obedience was what released the Lord's hand to release his only begotten son into the world. That man was willing to offer his only son. And so because of that, God offered his only son to save humanity. There's consequences for obedience. It affects everybody around you. And, you know, opposite of that is there's consequences for disobedience. And it's not to be heavy, but it's just a reality. It's a truth. And here's an example of some ways that the Lord has been training me over my adult life. Little things. I mean, and it always starts little. You know, he who's faithful in a little thing will be entrusted with much, right? So God always comes to us and he's preparing us for these things. He's not going to just take his little three-year-old child and send them off to a war unprepared. He takes a little child and we raise our kids and we give them opportunities to learn and to grow. And when they're ready, then they go off. You know, Jesus was 30 years old when he entered the ministry. He was the Son of God. God gave him a time to be trained and be prepared. And that's true for all of us. We're all in training. He's not going to send us out into something dangerous if we're not being equipped. You know, and so the Lord wants to equip us and prepare us for the times that we're coming into this and the season that we're in, that because this is going to be a stormy season. And so he's trying to train us. So here's some ways that I was trained, is just to kind of give you an example of how hearing God can be very instrumental, and but it's a process. Here's one that I've always hated, but I've learned. It's that nudge that you, where you wake up in the middle of the night and you're really, really tired. And you feel a nudge to go pray, but you're exhausted. And you either get up or you don't get up. I've not gotten up a lot of times. Thankfully, I've gotten up a lot of times. I get up easier now because I've spent the last 20 years of my life allowing the Lord to nudge me. I'm listening. Are we listening? Are we wanting to hear God? Because what happens is when we get these little nudges, our tendency is to, if it's not something we really want, we can easily throw aside these nudges because they're usually not coming like earth-shattering, like, Travis, get out of bed! It's not coming like that. It's coming subtle. But because I want to hear the Lord, I'm like, Lord, is that you? That's how I always do it. Lord, is that you? I don't want this to be you, Lord, but this if this is you, my heart needs to hear this. So I'm putting my flesh under, and I'm at least stopping to say, Lord, is this you? And I'm asking. And I keep asking until I feel like I got a clarity. And usually it's the Lord, you know. And then I say, okay, all right, Lord, I get up. And the Lord was doing this for me and still does this for me a lot, where he'll wake me up in the middle of the night to get me to pray. And it's never fun to get up out of bed. It's a sacrifice. That's like the Song of Solomon's, you know, the bridegroom comes to the door, huh? And yeah, looks through and she's like, oh, but he's knocking on the door. And he's like, but oh, but I'm comfortable. My feet have been washed. I'm in my bed. I can't get up. And she's like, oh man, wait a minute. What am I doing? And she goes to the door and he's gone. She missed her moment because of her comfort. She wasn't willing to sacrifice her comfort in order to allow the Lord in. And a lot of times we're not willing to allow, a lot of time our comfort gets in the way of us allowing the Lord into our life. And God a lot of times doesn't come at convenient moments. He comes at very inconvenient moments. And it's to test us. Is he more important than anything else in our life? And if he is, we say yes to it. And if he's not, we say no to it. So that's one of the ways that the Lord has been training me to listen. Other times, you know, it's like, you know, Moses, we've talked about this, how Moses saw the burning bush and he turned aside to see if it's the Lord. That really is the key, and we've shared this a lot, but that really is the key to hearing the Lord, is having a heart that's willing to turn aside. See, Moses was tending his sheep. He's doing what he's done every day for the last 40 years. But all of a sudden he sees, and the way I see it, the scripture doesn't make it clear, but the way I see it is I think that bush was far off. I don't think it was close by him. I think he saw the bush on fire from a distance, because the scripture says that when he saw the bush burning, he turned aside to see. So he had to go and investigate what this thing was. He had to leave what he was doing to go investigate that if what he was seeing. And that's the way hearing God is. God will give us a little something just to try to get our attention. And if we're willing to turn aside to go investigate, as the scripture says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside, he spoke to him through the bush. See, the thing that God's using to turn us aside, to get us to see if we're listening, that's the thing that God will speak through us to if we stop and turn aside to investigate. Is this the Lord? So a lot of times we're getting little subtle things from the Lord and we're not listening, or we are listening, but it's all based on whether or not we're willing to turn aside to see if this is God. There's times I get things that I think are God, and as I turn aside, the Lord will, eventually I'll be like, oh, that wasn't the Lord. And I can go along, but at least I stopped and say, hey, is this you, Lord? But a lot of times I get those things and I turn aside. Is it you, Lord? Yes, it's me. And we have an opportunity to not only be in the right place at the right time, but or to help someone, give a word to someone, but it's just learning to listen and obey. And I feel like the Lord is really trying to get us into that place to where we're inclining our ears to him. Isaiah 55:3 says, "Incline your ear and come to me, listen that you may live." I've said this before. How many people heard God say, "Don't go to work today" on 9/11? I know for fact, because I've heard their testimonies on CBN, you know, the 700 Club, all that stuff, that were people that have given testimony that the Lord spoke to them not to go to work that day, and they obeyed, and they're alive today because of that. But what I believe is true, too, is that there were two men. There was the one that heard and obeyed, and there was the one that heard but didn't obey, and I don't think they're alive today. It's that serious, the times that we live in. And so the thing that we have to be doing is growing in our ability to hear God's voice. That's the first part, that we're learning to recognize the Lord speaking to us, and then we're willing to stop, turn aside, "Is this you, Lord?" And then once we doing that, now, okay, let's obey. And I've had a lot of times where the Lord, once I realized the Lord was telling me something, I did not want to obey. And there's been numerous times that I knew in my heart I wasn't going to obey. There was something so hard in me, and I began to cry out to the Lord. I'm like, "Lord, I don't want to do this. I'm not doing this." But Lord, that's wrong. So I'm having like this internal fight. God, help me obey you, because I don't want to do this. And it was amazing. Like, right as I stopped and just started acknowledging that I don't have even what it takes to obey the Lord in this, that there was something in me that was so determined to do a certain action. And when the Lord said no, and I'm just fighting with him, I'm like, "Lord, you've got to help me, because I'm going to do this." And then as I turned to the Lord and asked for help, he gives it. He right at the last moment, there would be something come over me, and I was able just to say no. And it usually had to do with the fear of man, telling somebody I wasn't going to do something that I told them I was going to do or something, and I'd have to go and, you know, stuff like that. There's different examples. But I want us to start being aware of how the Lord will get our attention in that we're practicing this, because it doesn't start off big. We have to learn how to listen in the small ways. I have a buddy who started trying to learn to listen to the Lord, and he was saying how this is kind of silly, but he started. He was like, "Lord, I want to just do whatever you say. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to listen right now. And whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it." And it was late at night. His wife and kids were in bed. And he said he felt like the Lord told him to go ring the doorbell. He's like, "That's stupid. That's not God." But it wouldn't go away. "Go ring the doorbell." He's like, "I can't do that. My wife will be angry if I wake her up." And so he starts having this wrestling, because what he heard didn't make sense, and there were, in the natural, there would be consequences to pay. And in this time in his life, he was having marital trouble, and there would be consequences to pay for doing this. But it won't go away. And so finally, he's like, "Oh, God, so stupid. Okay, whatever. I'm gonna go ring the doorbell." So he goes in and rings the doorbell to his front house, which is the stupidest thing in the world. And he said they had a dog, that if they'd have heard that doorbell, he would have been barking and just carrying on and woke the whole house up. And so that was part of what was going into him not wanting to ring the doorbell. But he rang the doorbell and nothing happened. And he went and sat down. He's like, "Lord, what was that about?" He's like, "See, if you just listen to me, the things that you think will happen won't happen. Just obey." He was just, because that was his purpose, that he sat down to spend time with God just to hear and obey. He was trying to learn how to stop judging everything that he hears and just obey it. So the Lord gives him something to do to help him in that process, to lean not into his own understanding, but in all his ways acknowledge God, and God would direct his path, and then he'd to move out of that place and act. And he was sure that the whole house was going to be woken up because of this dog start barking, wake his wife up, wake his kids. He rings the doorbell. He said he had a very loud doorbell, has a very small home. You know, it was a ranch, small ranch, nothing. Dog didn't wake up, kids, because God was teaching him something. Now, that's a silly little example, but it taught him something that, hey, just do it. And I can't tell you how many times that I've just learned how to just do it. Just do it. Just do what he says. You know, there's ways that God wants to speak to us. We've been doing prophetic training and trying to hear the Lord and recognize how the Lord speaks to us. You want to keep practicing that because the way the Lord speaks to you may be very different than the way the Lord speaks to me, and it's a relationship, and you have to develop that, and we need to develop that kind of intimacy and learning how to hear what the Lord's saying. I'm going to tell this to you guys. This is really weird, and I don't like sharing this because most people's faith, they don't have the faith for what I'm about to say. And the scripture says we prophesy according to our faith, okay? There's things, the way God speaks to me, that I have faith for now because I've seen them be accurate over and over and over and over and over again. But when most people hear it, at least in my own mind, I think people are going to think this is absurd. Ever since Bob prayed for me early on, he'd have this thing where the Lord would send electrical signals through his fingers. And he'd pray for people and he'd tell them what giftings they have based upon this thing. Well, mine didn't work like that, but I started having that happen to me where the Lord would give me like electrical shocks through my fingers. And at first, you know, it's like you don't even think to notice it. It's just like, that's weird. But then I started saying, Lord, because I had been taught at Morningstar, they taught you to pay attention to your body, especially when you're in a ministry situation. But I started having this happen to me. And one time I was in a Walmart and my evangelist, well, I had an electric shock go through my middle finger and I was in a Walmart and I knew based from Bob Jones thing, you know, you got the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teachers. He had this thing about the hand. The apostle touches all the offices. He's the thumb. Pointing fingers, the prophet, he points the way. The evangelist finger, it reaches out further than all the rest. Okay, the pastoral fingers, the ring finger, and then the teaching finger, Bob would say, it cleans out the ears. That was his fivefold ministry. And that sounds silly to a lot of people, and they don't have faith for it. But this has happened to me over and over again, where like I'll start walking by somebody. I had this happen at Lowe's one time. I was walking out. I go past this person, and my first finger, I get this electric shock in my first finger. And I knew, because I've experienced this, the Lord's wanting to give a prophetic word to the person I just walked past. And I didn't have a prophetic word, but my finger went off. I know how weird this sounds, and I'm glad this is a small group. So I don't get stoned down by a lot of people, just a few. But what ended up happening was I walked to my car, turned around to look, and I'm like, Lord, all right, what do you got? And then the Lord gives me a picture of somebody in my head. So I go up to the person based on this picture I saw, and I said to this person, I said, look, I said, I'm a Christian. I felt like the Lord wanted to encourage you. I said, he really wants you to stay still and stop moving around. And I felt like the Lord showed me you've been moving over and over and over again your whole life, and but a lot of the people that the Lord's been sending to you to be friends to you and to be a support to you, every time he would send them to you, you would get up and leave right as they were on their way, and you would miss the relationships that God's called you to be in. His eyes got big as saucers. He said he's never lived somewhere more than 6 to 8 months in his life. He constantly moves, and he just says, there's something that just comes over me, and I can't stand to be in one place at one time. Well, the way that happened was that's what the person I saw, when I turned around to look at him, I knew that was true about this person that I knew. So I knew that's what the Lord was saying for that person. It rocked this guy. I ended up praying for him, and it really was a powerful word. That all started because I got a shock in my electric first finger. I've had this happen too, where sometimes if the Lord doesn't want me to do something and I'm about to do it, I'll get that same shock. I've just learned through time. One time I had a huge job I had to take care of, and I was packing up all my tools off of one job because of the pressure that the contractor was putting on me to go to the other job and get it done. And I had to pack up this whole job site full of tools, carry it to the other job site, and my first finger, I started getting this electric shock. And I'm like, Lord, what is that? What are you telling? Are you telling me not to go? And I just had no faith because the guy had just called me the day before and said, look, you better get out here and get this done. So, there was some high pressure. So I'm like, all right, Lord, if this is you, I'm just going to listen. Let's see. So I called the guy. I said, stop. I told my guy, stop packing up tools. Stop. I feel like Lord's telling me not to. Let's see what's going on. So I called the guy. I said, look, can you just double check and make sure you're ready for us? He's like, oh, man, I forgot to call you. Something happened. They're not ready for you. So I would have packed up all my tools, drove an hour away to finish a job, to got there, and they wouldn't have been ready for me. And the Lord just saved me a lot of time, a lot of hassle, and a lot of money for having to pay my guys and myself and gas and all that, because I just learned to listen to little things. And I'm seeing people want to hear big things from God, but the Lord's speaking to us in the little things. And if we would just learn to listen, it's like the time I was praying, trying to talk. I wasn't praying. I was trying to talk to these girls about the Lord, and they just didn't want to hear me. You know, they just weren't into it. And all of a sudden, I felt a pain in my back. And I said, dude, why don't you have back pain, like right here? And the girl's like, I do. See, if I did not learn to listen, I would have missed all this stuff. And there's so many times, like, we can be in the wrong place at the wrong time because we're feeling something, but we're not listening. We're not asking. And in the days ahead, this is serious. So the Lord's trying to prepare us to enter into the ark. And what is the ark? The ark is Psalms 91. He who dwells, Jesus said, let my words abide in you. Let my words abide in me and let my words abide in you. That means that his words have to have a place of staying in our heart. When we hear his voice, we obey. And when we obey, now we're abiding in the Lord because we're hearing his voice and we're obeying and we're allowing his word to keep us where he wants us to be. And in that place, we're in an ark. We're in Psalms 91 protection. But when you're not in the ark, when you're hearing his voice and you're not obeying or you're not turning aside to see if it's the Lord, you can be at the wrong place at the wrong time and it could have terrible, terrible repercussions. Now, this is not meant to be a heavy weight, guys. God's got grace for us to learn, but let's not keep repeating the fourth grade, okay? He's got grace for us. If you don't pass fourth grade, he'll let you take fourth grade again, but don't keep failing fourth grade because you're not willing to do what it takes to pass by turning aside, learning to listen, because there comes a point when you're 16 years old and you're still in the fourth grade, something's wrong. And that's what the Lord's trying to get us to grow up into him. You know, my sheep hear my voice and another, they will not follow. If we don't have that kind of maturity to be able to recognize the voice of the Lord, we have not grown. That means we're a lamb. We're immature. We haven't grown up to be a sheep. And God wants us to grow up and learn how to recognize his voice. Now, this is a process. This does not happen overnight. I've got 24 years of experience of trying to hear God's voice and obey. I've made thousands of mistakes, and there's grace for all that. So this is not meant to be heavy, but it is meant to be something that, hey, guys, we have got to learn to practice hearing his voice. We got to learn to hear his voice, and we got to obey. Does that make sense?